I'm getting jumpy as a cat. I believe that blighter Baxter suspects something about you.
What do you think he suspects?
I mean, it's the way he looks at you. I don't like it.
Oh, nor from the aesthetic point of view do I. But we must bear these things manfully. We must remind ourselves that it is Baxter's misfortune rather than his fault that he looks like a dyspeptic lizard.
And it isn't only Baxter. The whole atmosphere of the place is getting rummy. I say, I believe the new housemaid is a detective.
What new housemaid?
Susan, her name is. Did you ever see a real housemaid sweep under a bureau?
Does she?
Caught her at it in my room this morning.
Isn't it a trifle far-fetched to imagine that she's a detective?
Well, I've seen such a dash lot of films where the housemaid or whatnot's a detective. Makes a fellow uneasy.
Oh, fortunately, there's no necessity to remain in a state of doubt. I can give you an unfailing method by means of which you can discover what she is.
What's that?
Kiss her.
Kiss her?
Precisely. Go to her and say, Susan, you're a very pretty girl.
But she isn't.
We will assume for purposes of argument that she is. Go to her and say, Susan, you're a very pretty girl. What would you say if I were to kiss you? If she's a detective, she will reply, how dare you, sir? Whereas if she is the genuine housemaid I believe her to be, she will giggle and remark, oh, don't be silly, sir.
I'll think it over. I say.
You have my ear, Comrade Threepwood.
I say, what I really came out here to talk to you about was something else. I say, are you really a pal of Miss Halliday's?
Assuredly. Why?
I say, I wish you would put in a word for me, what?
Put in a word for you?
Well, I love her, dash it. I've been in love with her for months. But she won't take me seriously and all that. Laughs at me, don't you know, when I propose. Well, what would you do?
I should stop proposing.
But I can't.
Just say to yourself, from now on, I will not start proposing until after lunch. And that done, it will be an easy step to do no proposing during the afternoon. And by degrees, you'll find that you can give it up altogether. Once you've conquered the impulse for the after-breakfast proposal, the rest will be easy.
Yes, but I say, will you?
Will I what?
Put in a word for me.
If the subject crops up in the course of the chit-chat, I shall be delighted to spread myself with no little vim on the subject of your fine qualities. Welcome to our village.
What are you doing here?
Oh, Lord Emsworth was kind enough to suggest that as we were old friends, I should come down in the car and meet you.
Are we old friends?
Have you so soon forgotten our deathless encounter beneath the awning of Thorpe and Brisker?
Are you staying at the castle?
Yes. And what is more, I'm the life and soul of the party. You'll find the car outside. If you care to go and sit in it, I'll take care of your luggage.
I'm very glad you're here. Because, as a matter of fact, I'm feeling just the least bit nervous.
Nervous? Why?
This is my first visit to a place of this size. Is everything very stately?
Not at all. We are very homely folk, we of Blandings Castle. We go about simple and unaffected, dropping gracious words all over the place. Lord Emsworth didn't overawe you, did he?
Oh, he's a dear. And, of course, I know Freddy quite well.
Ah.
Have you known Lord Emsworth long?
I met him for the first time the day you did.
Good gracious. And he invited you to the castle?
Strange, I agree. One can only account for it, can one not, by supposing that I radiate some extraordinary attraction. Have you noticed it?
No.
No? Oh, well. No doubt it will flash upon you quite unexpectedly sooner or later. Like a thunderbolt or something.
I think you're greatly conceited.
Not at all.
Conceited?
Oh, no. Success has not spoiled me.
Have you had any success?
None whatever. We get down here.
Here? Why?
Because if we go up to the house, you will infallibly be pounced on and set to work by Baxter. Delightful fellow, but a whale for toil. I propose to conduct you on a tour around the grounds, and then we'll go for a row on the lake. You'll enjoy that.
You seem to have mapped out my future for me.
I have.
I'm afraid I haven't time to wander about the grounds. I must be going to see Mr. Baxter.
Baxter is not one of the beauties of the place. Time enough to see him when you're compelled to. We are now in the Southern Pleasance, or the West Home Park, or something. Note the refined way the deer are cropping the grass.
I haven't time.
We proceed to the Northern Mesuits. The dandelions were imported from Egypt by the 9th Earl.
Well, anyway, I won't come to the lake.
You will enjoy the lake. The newts are of the famous old Blanding strain. They were introduced, together with the water beetles, in the reign of Queen Elizabeth. Lord Emsworth, of course, holds manorial rights over the mosquito swatting. Before us now lies the celebrated Yew Alley. Speaking in my capacity of guide to the estate, I may say that when we have turned the next corner, you will see a most remarkable sight.
What would you do if I were to kiss you?
How dare you! Don't be so silly, sir.
Just a little kiss. Oh, I say.
I think it would be discreet if we were to withdraw in the direction of the house. Painful scene. But we must always strive to be charitable. He may have been taking a fly out of her eye or teaching her jiu-jitsu. You seem less revolted than one might have expected. Mark you, I don't think that this sort of thing is a hobby of Comrade Threepwood's. He probably has many other ways of passing his spare time. Remember that before you pass judgment on him.
I haven't any intention of passing judgment on him. It doesn't interest me what Mr. Threepwood does, either in his spare time or out of it.
His interest in you, on the other hand, is vast. I forgot to tell you before, but he loves you. He asked me to mention it if the conversation happened to veer around in that direction.
I know he does.
And does the fact strike no chord in you?
I think he's a nuisance.
Very well. We will discard the topic of Freddy, and I will try to find others that will elevate and amuse you. We are now approaching the main building.
I am going to report to Mr. Baxter. It's too absurd. I mustn't spend my time strolling about the grounds. I must see Mr. Baxter at once.
Nothing easier. The big open window there is the library. Doubtless Comrade Baxter is somewhere inside, toiling away among the archives.
But I can't announce myself by shouting at him.
Oh, assuredly not. Oh, no need for that at all. Leave it to me. One medium-sized flower pot should do the trick. Here we go. Oh! He is in. I thought he would be. Here he is. Ah, Baxter. Pleasant sunny afternoon.
Was it you?
You look like the blessed damosel gazing down from the bar of heaven. Baxter, I want to introduce you to Miss Halliday. You will like her. If I had a library, I could not wish for a more courteous, obliging and capable catalogist.
You
will no doubt wish on some future occasion to have a nice long chat with Miss Halliday in order to give her an outline of her duties. I have been showing her the grounds and am about to take her for a row on the lake.
Did you throw that flower pot?
You will find Miss Halliday a willing assistant, a tireless worker.
Did you?
But now I must be tearing myself away. A change into pale flannel is indicated for our row upon the lake. I shall only be a few minutes. Would you mind meeting me at the boathouse?
I am not going
on the lake.
At the
boathouse in, say, 6 1/4 minutes.
Ah, there you are, Miss, dear me, I've really forgotten your name. My memory is excellent as a rule. But, Miss Halliday. Of course. Baxter, my dear fellow, this is Miss Halliday.
Mr. McTodd has already introduced me to Miss Halliday.
Has he? Well, dash to love him, Where is he?
He went into the house after throwing a flower pot at me.
Doing what?
He threw a flower pot at me.
Why did Baxter throw a flower pot at McTodd? And where did he get it? No flower pots in the library?
Did you say his name was McTodd, Lord Emsworth?
No. Baxter. That was my secretary.
No, I mean the one who met me at the station.
Baxter did not meet you at the station. The man who met you at the station was McTodd. He's staying here. And I strongly object to Baxter throwing flower pots at my guest.
Is Mr. McTodd a poet?
No. Yes. Oh, yes. There seems no doubt about that. Canadian poet. Apparently they have poets out there, and why not? Remarkably growing country. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be leaving. You know, I have to see my head gardener, MacAllister. Scotsman, obstinate man. If you go into the house, my sister Constance will give you tea. I don't know what the time is. I suppose there will be. Tea?
Mr. McTodd asked me to go for a row on the lake.
On the lake, eh? On the lake? Oh, of course. Yes, the lake. I think you'll like the lake.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you appear to be brooding about something. What's the matter?
I have only just found out your name, Mr. McTodd. It was a great shock to me.
Well, I wouldn't call it a bad name, as names go. Don't you think there's a sort of Highland strength about it? Young Laird McTodd.
I ought to tell you, Mr. McTodd, that I was at school with Cynthia.
Indeed. With Cynthia. Well, that must have been jolly.
Oh, don't speak in that flippant, sneering tone. It's so cheap. After all, however you may feel about her now, you must have been fond of poor Cynthia at one time, or I don't see why you should have married her.
Sorry. Oh, how clumsy.
Oh, never mind about that. It doesn't matter. Mr. McTodd, I do wish you would tell me what the trouble was. I suppose you're thinking that this is no business of mine.
No, no, not at all.
You see, I'm devoted to Cynthia, and I like you. The friend who told me about you and Cynthia made it seem that the whole fault had been yours. I thought you must be a brute. But you've been so nice to me. Perhaps there is something I can do to help. Try to bring you together, you know.
That would, I fear, be impossible. It is like you to suggest it, but it is too late for any reconciliation. Cynthia and I are divorced.
Divorced? But how can you be divorced? It's only a few days since you and she were in London together.
I used the term in a spiritual rather than a legal sense. We are separated beyond hope of reunion. Love, Miss Halliday, is a delicate plant. It needs tending, nursing, assiduous fostering. This cannot be done by throwing the breakfast bacon at a husband's head.
What?
In the dish.
Cynthia did that?
On more than one occasion. Her temper in the mornings was horrible. I have known her lift the cat over two chairs in a settee with a single kick. And all because there were no mushrooms.
But I can't believe it.
Come over to Canada and I will show you the cat.
But she was always the gentlest little creature.
At school, you mean?
Yes.
That would, I suppose, be before she had taken to drink.
Taken to drink?
We lived in one of the dry provinces of Canada, and as so often happens, that started the trouble. From the moment she installed a private still, her downfall was swift.
Oh!
I hate speaking like this of one who was your friend, but I should not like you to think badly of me, Miss Halliday. I do not make friends easily. I'm a lonely man. But somehow it seemed to me since we met that we might be friends.
Why? Of course.
Thank you. Thank you. I have suffered. But if you will be my friend, I think that I may forget.
Enter. Comrade Threepwood. At any other time, Comrade Threepwood, certainly, but not now. I am not in the vein.
What?
At any other time, I should be delighted to listen to your farmyard imitations, but not now. I'm in a beautiful reverie and your presence jars.
Don't talk so much. Do you know what? You've jolly well got to get out of here quick. The game's up.
I fail to understand you, Comrade Threepwood.
I've just been talking to Baxter. He hauled me in as I was passing the library. He has seen through the whole damn thing practically from the moment you got here. Though he doesn't know that I've anything to do with it.
But how did our delightful friend happen to suspect that I was not all I seemed to be?
Well, In the first place, Dashit, that damn fellow McTodd sent a telegram saying he wasn't coming.
Ah, that was what they all meant by saying they were glad I'd come after all.
Yeah, and then you went and wrote in the PV female's autograph book. But Baxter keeps every letter that comes into the place, and he'd kept McTodd's original answer, except in the invitation to come here. He compared the handwriting with what you wrote in the Peavy's album, and of course they're not a damn bit alike.
Well, does he seem to have any idea why I've come to the castle?
Any idea? But why, dash it, the first thing he said to me was that you must have come to sneak Aunt Connie's necklace.
Well, in that case, why has he made no move until today?
He said he was pretty sure you wouldn't do anything on your own. He thought you'd wait until your accomplice arrived. And damn him, do you know who he's got the infernal gall to think is your accomplice? Miss Halliday, dash him. If I were you, I'd leg it today and have your luggage sent on after you.
Comrade Threepwood, you suggest a cowardly and weak-minded action. I think that with a little resource and ingenuity we may get through. Sad that these idyllic surroundings should have become oppressed with a cloud of sinister menace.
What?
What one fancied was the pipes of Pan turns out to be a police whistle.
Yes,
Still, we must bear these things without wincing. My purpose remains firm. The cry goes round the battlements. Smith intends to keep the old flag flying.
You remember what I told you about Blanding sheltering more than one impostor at a time beneath its ancient towers? I decided at this point that it was high time we had another.
Oh, hello there. Well, I didn't see you. It's quite dark in here after outside.
The light is pleasantly dim.
Is Lord Emsworth anywhere about?
I fear not. He has legged it, accompanied by the entire household, to superintend the unveiling of a memorial to, if my memory serves me rightly, the late Hartley Reddish Esquire, J.P., M.P. Is there anything I can do?
Well, I've come to stay, you know.
Indeed.
Lady Constance invited me to pay a visit as soon as I reached England.
Ah, then you have come from foreign parts.
Canada.
Really?
Yes. My name's McTodd. Ralston McTodd. I expect you have heard them speak of me.
You say that you are Ralston McTodd? The celebrated Canadian poet?
Yes, I do.
Then what is a pale parabola of joy?
What?
And here's another. The sibilant, scented silence that shimmered where we sat. Could you oblige me with a diagram of that one?
What are you talking about?
It's lucky that you met me before you had to face the others. I fear that you undertook this little venture without thoroughly equipping yourself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My dear comrade, I may as well tell you at once that the genuine McTodd is an old and dear friend of mine. I had a long and entertaining conversation with him only a few days ago.
Oh, hell. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing, comrade. Well, by the way, what is your name?
Coots.
Nothing, comrade Coots. You're free to leg it hence whenever you feel disposed.
Say, that's darn good of you.
But before you go, tell me one or two things. I take it that your object in coming here was to have a pop at Lady Constance's necklace.
Well... yeah.
I thought as much. And what made you suppose that the real McTodd would not be here when you arrived?
Well, I travelled over with him on the boat. Saw a good deal of him when we got to London. I met him in the Strand, all worked up, madder than a hornet. Said he'd been invited down here, but wouldn't come if they begged him on their bended knees. He told me he was going straight off to Paris.
And did he?
Well, I saw him off myself at Charing Cross. That's why it seems such a cinch, me coming here instead of him. How was I to know that the first man I run into is a friend of his?
And now I think that perhaps it would be as well if you had a dash at the railway station. The household may be returning any moment now.
You're right.
You'll be happier when you're away from here. Once outside the castle precincts, a great weight will roll off your mind. A little fresh air will put the roses in your cheeks. You know your way, huh?
I'd rather taken a shine to Coots by this time. And it seemed rather a pity to let things fizzle out for him like that. So I thought I'd see what would happen if on the road back to Market Blandings he were to encounter Miss Peavy. This is going to come as quite a surprise to you, so stand by.
Liz!
Eddie! Can you tie it?
Well, if this isn't the cat's whiskers.
It's good to see you, Ed.
You don't still think I'm a pie-faced pug ugly?
No, oh, did I say that?
You said I was so crooked I could hide behind a spiral staircase.
You had just cheated me out of $3,000.
Lizzie, you never gave me a chance to explain.
Okay. Forget and forgive, eh?
Liz, you're prettier than ever.
Now, you behave.
Smooth, Lizzie. What a partnership. You remember that night on the Atlantic Queen when we took that guy for 12 grand? You were just great. The best little decoy in the business. All my luck went after you. Hey, but let's not talk about my troubles. What are you doing here? Have you retired?
No, sir. I'm sitting in at a game with real worthwhile stakes. Diamonds, Eddie. A necklace. I've only had one look at it so far, but that was enough. Some of the best ice I've seen in years.
A necklace?
2 days out from New York, I made the biggest kind of hit with this Lady Constance Keeble.
What?
I'm visiting at a castle now.
Gee, if you fell down a well, Liz, you'd come up with a bucket. Do you know what I've been trying to do all afternoon? Only trying to edge into that damn place myself?
Oh, Ed. What was the stuff you pulled to get in?
Yeah, I thought I got it smooth.
Hold that! Hold that!
There was this gink called McTarr who said he'd been invited, but nobody had ever set eyes on him.
You don't mean to tell me, Ed Coots, that you thought you'd get into the castle by pretending to be Ralston McTarr?
Why not? And the first guy I meet is a mutt who knows McTarr well.
So I beat it. I know when I'm not wanted.
But Ed, what do you mean? Ralston McTarr is at the castle now, this very moment.
How's that?
Sure, been there a couple of days. Long, thin bird with an eyeglass.
An eyeglass? But McTarr's not tall and thin, and he didn't wear no eyeglass. He's a fold of bunk games.
What?
And I let him shoo me out as if I was a stray pup.
What are you talking about?
And I thanked him. Thanked him?
Whatever are you...
The fellow with the eyeglass who told me he knew McTarr well must be the guy who's passing himself off as McTarr. He must have started working on the same lines as I did.
The big stiff. I had a feeling from the first that there was something not on the level about that guy. Gee, he must be after the necklace, too. What are you going to do?
Do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Say, what the hell am I going to do?
Listen, this guy's ace high with Lady Constance. You've got to get him alone right away and tell him he's got to get you invited to the place as a friend of his.
But how am I to get him alone?
I can fix that. I'll ask him to come for a stroll with me. He's not exactly crazy about me, but he can't very well duck. You'll be in the bushes. I'll think of some excuse to send him back, and while I walk on, you jump out on him.
Liz, you're the snake's eyebrows.
But what are you going to do if he turns you down?
See this? He won't turn me down.